YWW2RG, W2ROB, and KE2ARA. Any other stations signing in from Echolink? Do we have any stations signing in this evening via IRLP? Do we have any stations this evening signing in via the All-Star node? At this time, are there any stations, any call sign that has not signed in already?
N2ICD.
KD2KNH.
N2ICD and KD2KNH. One last call for anyone that has not checked in. Any call sign? We'll take late check-ins after we pass traffic. The first station with traffic is Paul, WS2N. Paul, go ahead with your traffic.
Okay, thanks, Rich. Just a reminder that every Sunday night we have the technical net. So if you want information on your radios or antennas or any other electronic equipment, Roy AC2GS is always there, and he does one heck of a job as net control. And that's 8 o'clock to 11 o'clock every Sunday night. Anyway, back to you, Rich.
Hi, thank you, Paul. And let me just throw some other things out there. This coming Wednesday is a board meeting at the Levittown Library starting at 7:30. Everyone is invited to attend. It's open in the sense that we invite comments from anyone that's there. You know, we certainly appreciate input. And it's kind of an open board meeting, so everyone is welcome. But at the same time, it is the closing of the self-nomination period. At the conclusion of that board meeting on Wednesday night, all self-nominations are finished. And if you still feel that you'd like to run for office, you can do so at the November 8th general meeting. And at that meeting, the only difference is you have to be nominated and seconded from the floor. So it's entirely up to you, but the self-nomination closes on the conclusion of the board meeting on November 1st. On November 8th, besides the presentation which we'll have by Ed Wilson, who is the vice director of the Hudson Division, but and is an expert in a new protocol called M17, and many of you might find that interesting. But also, we really encourage you to come to the meeting. You do have to vote on the budget, and that's important because it requires a sufficient number of members voting to get the budget passed. And we want to make sure that we're in good stead. And we want food. Not sure what it's going to be at this point. A couple of different varieties show up, but we'll definitely have food. And when we do that, we try to start at 7. I know that may be a little bit late for some people to eat dinner, but, you know, that's what it is. I don't think we can do it much earlier. Anyway, so that's November 8th for that meeting. And let it drop. Okay, a reminder that our Ham Fest is coming up on November 12th. And I think we're up to around 45 or 48 tables sold. I have to be honest with you, I'm not sure Quicksilver is going to be there. It's just one of those things where he's finding it a little more difficult. If he can, he will. But Gene KJI should be there, and Dave Schneider, and Jeff Kostetsky with all his good radios, and Pete Sherry. And plus, Weimark has a lot of equipment now to sell, and it will be at the right price, because we want to get rid of it. Lots of good test equipment, lots of good amateur radio equipment. So please make it a point to try to show up. It's really important to support the vendors. As I said, I think AmFest, as we've known them in the local area, are going to change a lot as the vendors get older and fewer and further between. So just kind of be aware of that. Now, we were going to have a one-day cram session for the technician class on November 11th. And although some people expressed an interest in it, we never heard back from anyone, and so we had to cancel it because Levittown Hall was reserving the room for us, and I didn't want to call them up because there are other people that would like to have the room. However, if you have someone that's interested in taking the technician class and taking the technician class license, which will now be at our hand test on November 12th, let them email education@blindlock.org, because I think we still put together a Zoom study session probably on the Thursday and the Friday before, or at the very least the Friday before, for anyone who needs some last-minute touch-up, anyone who has some questions. We'll probably go through one series of questions just to get people familiar with it. So please, if you have someone in the family or someone that you know is interested, let them email education@limelock.org and we'll make sure to include them. Now, on the other hand, we still tentatively have November 26th set aside for the one-day cram session for the general class license. So if you or anyone else that you know would be interested in that, again, you have to let us know, education@limelock.org, and indicate for the general class license, and we will try to put together something. But then have that one-day cram session where you'll take the exam at the end of the day when all the information is fresh in your mind. Okay, that's all the traffic that I have. At this time, is there late check-ins, any call signs, anyone that has not signed in already? Okay, and I would like to remind everyone, Limelock members, you know, we all get a little bit lazy, but please try to get your dues in. And if you're not a Limelock member but you enjoy using our equipment, please consider joining Limelock. We do appreciate it. We have some interesting things that should be coming up, including moving our fusion repeater into the Hempstead area, probably on one of the dormitories at Hofstra, which would give it pretty good coverage. And it will be a full fusion repeater linked into the wire system. So lots of good stuff coming up, but all of it costs money. And you know, we do our best, and I sometimes wonder, like Field of Dreams, if we build it, will you come? You know, we certainly hope so, but we really need to get those dues in. It's a little uncomfortable when we start up and people forget. So please take the time and make sure to get the dues in. And again, if you're not a Limelock member, we don't force you to do it, but we do appreciate your support, particularly if you do use our equipment and do like it. Okay, let me quickly go over the traffic this evening because we're a little bit early. First, Paul, who is an integral part of the TechNet, wanted to remind everyone there's a lot of new members who may not be aware of it. And it's a TechNet that's been going on for, I don't know, 30 years or something like that. And it's a place for you to ask any technical questions that you have about your equipment, about antennas, just about electronics in general. And Roy, AC3GS, has been running it since the passing of Dick KQRIW. And it's just very informative. It's very good. And you know, you can ask any question if you're not sure what your rig is doing or why it's doing it or how you can fix it or something about Siri. There's always somebody there to help you. Plus, Paul is an expert on the U.S., well, I guess the worldwide space programs. So if some of you follow that, some of you track satellites, you know, Paul is your go-to person. So mark it down Sunday night starting at 8 o'clock, and usually it goes to about 11 o'clock. A reminder that we have the Limelock board meeting this Wednesday night at the Levittown Library, 7:30. Everyone is invited to attend. Everyone has an opportunity to speak if you'd like. And a reminder that the self-nominations period closes with the closing of the board meeting. If you'd still like to self-nominate yourself, the form is on the website. All you need is your own suggestion that you'd like to run, and that shouldn't be too difficult. So up on the Limelock website. The general meeting on November 8th will have a vote on the budget, which we need, so we really need your support. We will have food. Our guest speaker will be Ed Wilson on M17, which is a new protocol that some of you may find very interesting. We expect to have a technician review class on Zoom on Friday the 10th and maybe Thursday the 9th also, but we need to know if people are interested. Please email education@limehawk.org. And finally, we expect to put together a general class one-day review session on November 26th. But again, we have to know if you're interested, because again, we can't hold the room. There's others that use Levittown Hall that would love to have the room. So email us, and we'll give you all the details. I think one final check for any late check-ins, any call signs.
W2OSR. Whiskey Romeo 2 Kilo. K2DCB.
Okay, the W2OSR, WR2K, and K2DCB. One last call, anyone else? Okay, I just want to make sure I have Kilo Echo 2, Charlie Bravo Echo, is that correct?
Yep, that's correct.
Your audio is a little bit low. I didn't copy the things that you said, but I think you said that the call sign was correct. Okay, and thanks for checking in. The Limehawk Infonet will be followed by the Limehawk Swap and Shop, and that will be followed by Radio Newsline. Thank you to everyone for signing in. Have a safe week. We'll see you next week, and hopefully we'll see some of you at the board meeting this coming Wednesday, 7:30, Levittown Library. This is K2KMB closing the net at 2054-73. George, it's all yours.
Thank you, Richie. And good evening. Welcome to the Limehawk Swap and Shop. This is George, KD2FIU, your net control. If at any time during the net you have emergency traffic, break in using the word emergency, and then it will be turned over to you to pass the traffic. This meets every night following the Limehawk InfoNet, and the purpose of the net is to buy, to sell, or to trade ham radio equipment or related electronic equipment. This is a directed net, so all communication is to go through net control. If you have an item that you want to list or that you would like, please indicate with traffic while you're checking in, and we'll come back to you after taking further check-ins. Try to give a price and give your contact information. This net is open to check-in so that we could take any further listings, want-ads, or clarification of the traffic. Would anybody like to check into the Limehawk Swap and Shop?
A0GIO, support.
WP2YMC, just checking in.
KB2OIE, support.
KC2FYJ, supported.
WB2BEZ, supporting.
NG2S, supporting.
Okay, we got K0GIO, WB2YMC, KB2OIE, KC2FYJ, WB2BEZ. There was somebody who doubled in there, and we'll come back to you. And NG2S also has joined us tonight. A person who did call in, but I couldn't hear you during a double. Try it again.
KD2ESY.
Good evening, Andy. KD2ESY joining. This is KD2FIU at the Limehawk Swap and Shop. Would anybody else like to check in?
David George, W2OSR.
W2OSR. Going to pause anybody coming in through IRLP, EchoLink, or the AllStarNet. Okay, does anybody have any traffic? That is listings, want ads, or even any questions about equipment that they want or may want to get rid of.
Hey, George, KCKMB, I'll make some comments and throw some stuff out there.
And good evening, Richie, K2KNB. Take it away.
Yeah, you know, and this is KCKMB. So, you know, we do this, and we have a lot of people checking in, and the question is, you know, when we pick a specific product, maybe we're just not picking the product that you want. And you know, it would be interesting if you would email George or email me with specific items that you might be looking for, because, you know, we really have a lot of stuff. As a club, we have a lot of stuff, and very shortly, as soon as it's better organized, a lot of Andy's test equipment, all of which has been donated to Limark, and it'll be going up all at the right pricing, but you've got to be interested in test equipment or some boat anchor type radios or transceivers or transmitters.
That's time complete.
You have some experience with it. For example, we have the BMW 5100 and the BMW 6100. They were classics. They're boat anchors, but they're extremely well-known, particularly in the AM and the CW world. But we also have, as we've said many times, wire if you need some coaxial cable or if you need just about any connector. We've got that. We have, right now, I think we have a discone antenna. We have a 2-meter ground plane. We have, I think, a couple of older 220 radios, mobile radios, probably a 2-meter mobile. Some of it's a little bit older. Couple of ATs, or I've been putting up that DX6R, brand new in the box, $200. You know, it's brand new. It just came from someone. It actually came from an estate, but the person never opened it. So we have a lot of stuff. If you're interested in certain things, maybe we haven't listed it, but you're interested, email George, email me, and let's see if we can help you out. This is K2KMB. Back to Nick.
Richie, thanks for bringing that in, because I want to share this with the folks that have checked in and who are listening. I recently was contacted by somebody upstate New York who knows that I run the Swap and Shop Net for Limark every Sunday night, and they were interested in a very modern, solid-state, shortwave listening receiver. Just as an example to support what Richie is saying, there are people sometimes coming to us who have wants, and maybe some of us out here who are listening or who have checked in have those kind of things, and they don't know that somebody will take it from them. Of course, as a swap in shop with an asking price. But these things do come by us. Let me let it drop. There are times people have contacted me who are not within range, who want portables, who want HTs, who are asking for a specific transceiver or something like that. Richie brought in here a couple of boat anchors, the BMWs 5100 and 6100s, the 2-meter ground plane antenna, 2-meter mobile antennas, the Yaesu VX6R HT tribander, 220-440. It's brand new in the box if anybody wants a really nice HT that's out there. You can contact Richie at k2kmb@limark.org or contact me, Agent George, at att.net. k2kmb@limark.org. or Agent George at att.net. Does anybody have anything for the Limark Swap and Shop? Okay, I would like to thank K0GIO, WB2YMC, KB2OIE, KC2FYJ, WB2BEZ, KD2ESY, NG2S, W2SR, and K2KMB for joining us tonight. This net will be followed by Amateur Radio Newsline. And thank you for everybody who was listening. This is KD2FYU closing the net at 2102. 73.
if you can, but just give me a second to get radio news line started.
Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2400 with a release date of Friday, October 27th, 2023. To follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. The FCC takes a fresh look at wireless emergency alerts. Russian amateurs make contacts on the 6-meter band. And a radio signal arrives after 8 billion years. All this and more is Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2400 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. And now reporting from Valparaiso, Indiana, here's Paul Brown, WD9GCO.
We begin this week's newscast with a look at the life-saving communication known as the Wireless Emergency Alert System. Here in the U.S., the FCC has begun rethinking exactly how these alerts should be transmitted. We have those details from Cell MB, KB3TZD.
The FCC is looking for alternative ways for delivery of wireless emergency alerts that do not rely on functioning cell towers. Calling cell networks unreliable, the Commission's Public Safety and Homeland Security Bureau is seeking ways to get messages to the public that do not run the risk of cell towers being knocked out of service or having coverage dead zones. In a public notice released October 19th, the FCC said it was looking for partners to test alternative technologies for emergency alert use. According to a report in Radio World, the FCC is willing to consider satellites, high-altitude balloons, drones, or similar technologies to make up for gaps in wireless coverage. The FCC recalled one of the most recent incidents of cell coverage failing when in August, 21 cell sites failed to function in Hawaii during the deadly wildfires in that state. The Commission is asking interested parties to use the electronic comment filing system to contact the FCC within 60 days of the notice's publication. This is CellMB, KB3TZD.
The FCC has also announced that the agenda for its next open meeting on November 15th will include a vote that will modernize and bring more flexibility for amateur radio operators who use the digital modes. The FCC website says the commissioners plan to remove, quote, outdated restrictions, end quote, and allow for more innovation. Residents in southwestern Missouri are about to benefit from an amateur radio repeater system upgrade that will...
Amateur radio newsline will continue in 20 seconds.
...assist in times of bad weather and in other instances. Hear about all of those changes from Randy Sly, W4XJ.
A crucial weather emergency communication system in southwest Missouri will receive an upgrade to expand its reach as a result of a grant of nearly $70,000. The Southwest Missouri Regional Skywarn Ham Radio Repeater System allows storm spotters to reach the National Weather Service Forecast Office in Springfield, Missouri, providing up-to-date eyewitness accounts. Funding for the improvements will come from Amateur Radio Digital Communications, which will channel the grant through the Southern Missouri Emergency Communications Fund. The 10-month-long overhaul of the linked repeater system, known as the 49 Repeater Group, will add new repeaters and replace aging equipment. In the meantime, local amateur radio clubs will be learning more from the group's Michael Blake, N0NWS, who will encourage radio operators to become active in the project as well. This is Randy Sly, W4XJ.
A repeater system elsewhere is trying to recover. Although wildfires near Chattanooga, Tennessee have been brought under control, the region's High Point repeater site has been left disabled by cable damage left behind by the blaze. The 220 MHz repeater, the Wires X repeater, and the APRS Digipeater and iGate system of the Lookout Mountain Amateur Radio Community, N4LMC, will not return to use until further notice, according to the club's website. The damage also temporarily knocked a broadcast FM station off the air. The Lookout Mountain Amateurs website said that the group will need to replace all of the cables at the site. They are also awaiting word from the tower owners about possible damage to the tower, guy wires, and anchor points. If you happen to hear an amateur with a Russian call sign while you're listening on the band between 50 and 52 megahertz, you're not imagining things. And no, that ham is not violating any regulations. Ed Durant, DD5LP, tells us what's happening.
Russian amateurs holding that country's highest class of radio license are now being permitted to use the 6-meter band, with up to as much as 1 kilowatt, under a verbal agreement with the Russian regulator. According to a report in the November 2023 issue of Funk Telegram, hams are working to secure written permission for 6 meters, which...
Amateur radio newsline will continue in 20 seconds.
Funk Telegram, hams are working to secure written permission for 6 meters, which is not officially defined as an amateur band in Russia. Hams with Russian call signs have been using the band since 2014 from Crimea, when that territory was annexed. This was a privilege carried over from the time when the 6-meter operation was permitted in Crimea, when it was part of Ukraine. Funk Telegram quotes Alexander Kozlov, RW5C, an active amateur who is on the air from Moscow, as confirming to the magazine that a number of amateurs like him are now being heard regularly on the band and are making contacts. Russian amateurs have long contended that if authorities recognize 6-meter operation from Crimea, the privilege should be extended to all Russian hams. This is Ed Durant, DD5LP.
Radio enthusiasts in the UK turned on their shortwave sets for an on-air celebration. And Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, tells us about it.
100 people turned out on Tuesday the 17th of October for an 80th anniversary celebration at the UK's last remaining shortwave radio transmitting site. Countless others attended the party from a distance, shortwave listeners who later sent in reception reports. The Wolferton transmitting station, which was built by the BBC during the Second World War, is owned by Encompass Digital Media. Its celebration broadcast was transmitted to listeners in Europe as an analogue broadcast on 17.785 MHz and as a DRM broadcast on 11.725 MHz. A rare change of programming schedule, the station also used its oldest transmitter, a Marconi BD272, built in Britain in 1963, to send programming to North America on 15.245 MHz. To hear the anniversary broadcast, click on the link that you can find in the text version of this week's newscast at arnewsline.org. This is Jeremy Booth, G4NJH.
YL, throughout for a few days of socializing and talking about one of their favorite topics, amateur radio. Graham Kent, VK4BB, tells us what's on the agenda.
It's been a tradition every few years since 1984, a national get-together of the members of ALARA, the Australian Ladies Amateur Radio Association. Next month, the in-person contacts will be made in Hobart.
Amateur radio newsline will continue in 20 seconds.
Ladies Amateur Radio Association. Next month, the in-person contacts will be made in Hobart, where YLs from the organisation will meet up, some for the first time, without having to call CQ. ALARA Meet, as it is known, is now held every 3 years. It features a busy agenda on the 4th and 5th of November, a mix of amateur radio activities and social outings, including a tour of historic sites and an optional cruise. It's not unexpected to have an international attendance. Many of the 200 or so ALARA members live overseas and have their membership sponsored by YLs living down under. Created in 1975, ALARA works to nurture women's participation and enthusiasm for all things amateur radio. This is Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
Once again, Newsline is preparing to select the recipient for its International Newsmaker of the Year Award. We launched the award in 2019 with our editorial staff recognizing the individuals, groups, or formal clubs who have spent the previous year bringing amateur radio into the spotlight, showing its positive values and contributions to the community. We are broadening the award scope this year by acknowledging that the dissemination of information to the public about amateur radio's positive influence no longer relies solely on mainstream media. This year, and going forward, the award will be presented to a recipient who has illuminated amateur radio's role in mainstream media or via internet channels. Stay tuned in the weeks ahead. We will select a winner to be announced in early December. Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the Utah Amateur Radio Club's W7SP repeater, Sundays, as part of the club's 9 p.m. net. The scouting organization recognizes Jamboree on the Air as the largest scouting event in the world. But for one group participating in Wisconsin, the global amateur radio activity created some personal and very local triumphs. Patrick Clark, K8TAC, gives us those details.
In a small village just east of Wausau, Wisconsin, scouts were making CUSOs as part of the Jamboree on the Air weekend on Saturday, October 21st. They were using the call sign of the Wisconsin Valley Radio Association, W9FM. 8 volunteer operators from the club helped the scouts get on the air. These radio contacts weren't about the pursuit of QSL cards, but the chase for one of 3 merit badges. The radio merit badge, the sign...
Amateur Radio Newsline will continue in 20 seconds.
...cards, but the chase for one of 3 merit badges. The radio merit badge, the signs, signals, and codes merit badge, and the communications merit badge. The activity attracted scouts from other parts of Wisconsin, and some as far away as Minneapolis, Minnesota. According to Nicholas Schilling, KC9FEM, all 22 scouts who had enrolled to get the radio merit badge succeeded in that effort, and many of the others completed part of the requirement toward the other 2 badges. Perhaps the biggest challenge of the day was faced by Gary Harrison, W9CPY, an Eagle Scout who is also president of the Wisconsin Valley Club. Gary said that one scout who lives on a farm locally made a radio contact with a scout in Canada who also happens to live on a farm. The two got on quite well, almost to the point of an extended rag chew. Gary later told Newsline, quote, "I couldn't get the microphone back," end quote. This is Patrick Clark, K8TAC.
On Tuesday, October 24th, the 100-year-old Grimeton radio station transmitted a message of peace to the world from Sweden in a celebration that was also live-streamed on YouTube and accompanied by a ham radio activation. Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, has that story.
The broadcast hosted by the Alexander Grimeton Friendship Association in Sweden marked UN Day by sending its station a call sign SAQ, followed by a message of peace, W. 100 kilowatt Alexanderson alternate and its transmission at 1500 UD on 17.2 kilohertz. Those who could not be present at the World Heritage Site were able to watch it live on the YouTube channel of the Friendship Association. Amateur radio operators also participated, call sign SK6SAQ, contacts using CW and SSB on 80-40-20 meters. It's all over now, bother waiting. The operators of the historic transmitter are expecting QSL reports from listeners who receive long-wave transmission. Grimeton amateurs are waiting too for those who made their contacts on air. Yeah.
Hams and shortwave listeners alike are invited to participate in a radio event that celebrates the reach of shortwave and its powers to send music and other programming around the world. Here's Jim Meechan, ZL2BHF, with the details.
If you thought the days of shortwave broadcast listening were gone, you may be wrong.
Amateur Radio Newsline will continue in 20 seconds.
The days of shortwave broadcast listening were gone, you may be wrong. As a broadcast station in Taiwan is reaching out to the global amateur radio community for assistance with its international shortwave event that continues until 14th of November. The Fushun Broadcasting Station is asking listeners to send reception reports that include such details as favorite music being heard or favorite programs. The listening frequencies are 9.410 MHz, 9.774 MHz, and 15.375 MHz. Listeners who provide reception details will be sent a QSL card. The station also broadcasts locally on AM and FM, but that programming is not involved in this activity. Neptune report forms can be downloaded from the station's website, which appears in the text version of this week's newscast. If you have questions about the shortwave event, send an email to fhbstp@fhbs.com.tw. This is Jim Meacham, ZL2BHS.
If you are in the log for a successful contact with the Swains Island WHSD expedition, you're in plenty of good company. The team reports that they made 89,530 QSOs with 21,471 unique call signs. Contacts were evenly distributed across three largest global regions. Europe accounted for 35.1%, North America for 30.8%, and Asia for 29%. More details and other statistics can be found on Club Log using the link in the text version of this week's newscast at arnewsline.org. In the world of DX, be listening for June, OE1JUN/JH4RHF, operating as H44RH from Honiara in the Solomon Islands, IOTA number OC-047. He is on the air until the 31st of October. After that, he has tentative plans to operate as H40RH from Pigeon Island, IOTA number OC-065 in Tamutu Province between the 1st and 9th of November. Check QRZ.com for updates. QSL to OE1JUN.
Amateur radio newsline will continue in 20 seconds.
QRZ.com for updates. QSL to OE1JUN. Ed N2HX is active as V4/N2HX from St. Kitts, IOTA number NA104, until the 18th of November. Listen for him in the CQ Worldwide DX single sign V49R, QSL via home call, direct or bureau. Listen for Pierre, VE3KTB, and Alexei, VE1RUS, operating as VY0ERC from the Eureka Amateur Radio Club station in Ellesmere Island, IOTA number NA008, through the 22nd of November. See QRZ.com for details. Tom, VK2WN/SP7WT, is on the air until the 30th of November as AX37EUDXF to celebrate the 37th anniversary of the European DX Foundation. See QRZ.com for details. If you've ever waited for what seems like forever for a D-Expedition's QSL card to arrive, imagine waiting a really long time. We mean a really long time for the signal itself. Ted Peterson, KC0DGY, tells us about one radio signal that has finally arrived after 8 billion years.
You might call it long path taken to the extreme. A fast radio burst from a galaxy far, far away that has only arrived on Earth now after 8 billion years. The signal apparently is none the worse for the effort. Scientists say this mystery blast of waves is likely the most energetic they've ever seen, releasing the same amount of energetic emissions as the sun is capable of doing over a 30-year period. It's the latest example of what astronomers call FRB, which stands for Fast Radio Burst. The radio signals last barely a millisecond. Scientists have been receiving and watching them since 2007. This latest reception of the universe's remarkable operating mode even inspired a name, FRB 20220610A. Astronomers wrote about it in the journal Science, which published it on Thursday, October 19th. The team of researchers believe this latest burst may be the result of a small cluster of galaxies attempting to merge, which results in explosions that create new stars. One theory suggests that FRBs are a means.
Amateur radio newsline will continue in 20 seconds.
Explosions that create new stars. One theory suggests that FRBs are a means of gauging the amount of matter between galaxies. While all this rapid, fancy flashing seems remarkable, scientists assure us that FRBs are quite commonplace. Radio telescopes are being built in Australia and South Africa with the goal of detecting more of them from even more distant places in the cosmos. In this case, the sky is not the limit anymore. This is Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
If you have a piece of amateur radio news that you think Newsline would be interested in, send it on. Now, we're not talking about advertising your club's upcoming hamfest or field day participation, but something that is out of the ordinary. If so, send us a brief overview via the contact page at arnewsline.org. If it's newsworthy and we'd like to cover it, we'll get back to you for more details. Meanwhile, visit our website to learn more about the Amateur Radio Newsline Haiku Challenge. Use the entry form on our website and please follow the rules for writing your three-line haiku, and be sure to check out our previous winners. With thanks to ALARA, Amateur Radio Daily, the ARRL, the BBC, CQ Magazine, CNN, David Behar, K7DB, Encompass Digital Media, the FCC, 425 DX News, Funk Telegram, Nicholas Schilling, KC9FEM, KRMS Radio, Radio World, shortwaveradio.de, Wireless Institute of Australia, YouTube, and you, our listeners. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. We remind our listeners that Amateur Radio Newsline is an all-volunteer, non-profit organization that incurs expenses for its continued operation. Support us? Please visit our website at arnewsline.org and know that we appreciate you all. We also remind our listeners that if you like our newscast, please leave us a 5-star rating wherever you subscribe to us. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Paul Brown, WD9GCO in Valparaiso, Indiana, saying 73. As always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2023. All rights reserved.
Amateur Radio Newsline will continue in 20 seconds. This concludes Amateur Radio Newsline. The frequency is available for use.
FIU, KD2OGB, mobile.
W2 W2L repeater. W2VL repeater. Good morning. The time is 5 o'clock a.m.
Good morning. 5:01 a.m. Cloudy. Temperature 46 degrees. Good morning. The time is M. Mostly cloudy. Temperature 46 degrees.
KC2BZB, KC2BZB from KA2YHY.
Good morning. cloudy. Temperature 44 degrees.
W2.
Echo 2, Charlie Bravo, Echo listening.
All right, I heard somebody out there, but I was on the dial, listening to the radio. KD2 KNH Mobile.
Echo 2, Charlie Bravo, Echo listening. Kilo Echo 2, Charlie Bravo, Echo listening.
Kilo Echo 2, Charlie Bravo, Echo was it? This is Kilo Delta 2, KD2, UZT. KD2, UZT.
is that KE2, you repeated again, you came in with a little bit of static, but yeah, it was KE2CB up in the Bronx, actually, Pelham Bay Park area, testing out my Wotion KGQ10H and just showing one of my buddies. Can I repeat your call sign for me? And how am I coming through?
This is KD2UZC, currently in Farmingdale on Long Island. I'm presently using an HD on a Mag Mountain VR mobile. Back to you.
Yeah, you're coming through pretty much perfect. Say again what you're using with Mag Mountain?
I'm in the car with a using an HT with a Mag Mount in Farmingdale. This signal, you're coming in. It's a little staticky, but you're readable.
Yeah, I just picked up the. I'm on an HT, obviously, but I just picked up the signal stuff, Mag Mount with the CNC connector. So I'm going to see how the signal stuff super elastic antenna does in the car. I didn't realize you were mobile. Sorry, I didn't catch that before. Yeah, same to you. A little bit of static, but definitely readable.
Yeah, for an HD, you're doing quite well. I guess you got a rubber duck. Your signal sounds a little clearer now, maybe because I stopped. But now I'm proceeding. Back to you.
Yeah, I was standing under a couple of giant steel I-beams, so I walked out from... from underneath those, so that might be the reason I'm coming in a little bit clearer now. But, hey, listen, good talking to you. I actually got a rock and roll. So, 7-3, and can you just give me your call sign one more time? All right, 7-3, that's Kilo Echo 2, Charlie Bravo Echo.
Kilo Echo 2, Charlie Echo Bravo, 73, nice chatting. This is KD2, UZT, Kilo Delta 2, Uniform Zulu Tango.
Got you now. Nice talking to you, Ken. And this is Matt, by the way. 7-3.
73, Matt.
Questions?